appreciate all that you have done for so many years here. So thank you, Betsy. God bless you. And I could never have continued down where I've gone if I didn't know that you were still there leading the troops. So thanks. Well, I want to start off with something a little funny. She died a couple years ago, but it made the Facebook rounds. And I don't know if y'all knew about the 122-year-old woman who died in France. She was the oldest living woman at the time, but she was born in Arles in 1875. And when she was 14, the Eiffel Tower was built. And she met Van Gogh, and she said he was dirty, badly dressed, and disagreeable. When she was 85, she took up fencing, and she still rode her bike at 100. And at the age of 114, she starred in her own film. And at 117, she gave up smoking, which she had been doing since she was 21. But it wasn't for health reasons. It's because she was tired of asking people to light her cigarettes for her because she was nearly blind. This was her recipe for life. She said, "I'm in love with wine. All babies are beautiful. I think I will die of laughter. I've been forgotten by our good Lord. I've got only one wrinkle and I'm sitting on it. I never wear mascara. I laugh until I cry it off. If you can't change something, don't worry about it. Always keep your smile. That's how I explain my long life. I see badly, I hear badly, and I feel bad, but everything else is fine. I have a huge desire to live and a big appetite, especially for sweets. I love this woman. I have legs of iron, but to tell you the truth, they're starting to get a little rusty lately. I took pleasure when I could. I acted clearly and morally and without regret. I'm very lucky. Being young is a state of mind. It doesn't depend on one's body. I'm actually still a young girl. It's just that I haven't looked so good for the past 70 years. So I wanted to encourage any of you who this past year has left feeling a little low or, you know, depressed in any way, or feeling, you know, like you've aged. It's only a state of mind, right? And I feel like we are overcomers. And I really am so delighted to be here today. And I'm terribly sorry that I wasn't able to speak at the very beginning, but I had intended to do that. And when the core team got together and decided what we should study for the semester, the first thing that popped to my head was Hebrews. And by God's grace, Betsy had already taught it last year. So it just seemed like the perfect fit for us. And I'm truly sorry that I haven't been able to be more a part of it. But as many of you or most of you know, my house was broken into, vandalized, and multiple fires were set ablaze in it on December 28th. And so we've just been dealing with the aftermath of that ever since. We are so thankful that no person or even our pets were harmed, but basically all of the contents were lost in the fire, except if you can believe it, this is God's sense of humor. The stuff in the storage in the back part of the basement that was the giveaway pile, all of that survived. But pretty much everything else was burned or has severe smoke damage down to my panties. So we're starting from scratch. And we very, 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 I can't tell you how much we appreciate all of your prayers. We have been painfully going through the charred debris and making endless lists of the thousands of items that were in our house for the insurance company. And we appreciate your prayers for our family and for the family and for the young man who did this. We are praying for his wholeness and healing and for his family. It's all a very sad and tragic tale, but we have felt buoyed, carried along by God's grace and by your prayers. Because the crime was arson, it's a federal crime, and so it's an ongoing investigation with monthly hearings, and so it's not over yet. So please continue to pray for us and for the whole situation. We'd really appreciate it. But funny how God knew all of this would happen. So I think he inspired us to choose a book that would be very helpful and comforting, not only to me personally, but to all of us. And I hope that it was. It was such a crazy year that we have just all lived through. And thanks be to God, there is light at the end of the tunnel. But for believers, the light is not what the world has to offer, which is the vaccine. For believers, the light at the end of the tunnel is heaven. The book of Hebrews, though we don't know who wrote it or who was really written to even, we know it was written to a persecuted pilgrim church. So whoever they were, perhaps those in Rome or Jerusalem, knew hardship and suffering and were even tempted to give up, to give in to despair, or to turn back to familiar ways. The writer states that the key qualities that would be needed to get them through were faith and endurance. This book exhorts them to hang on, especially in chapters 10, 11, and 12. He's saying, don't give up. We are pilgrims on the move. We are not quite at the end yet of the tunnel, nor will we be until we reach our final destination, which is heaven, which is our true and lasting home. This book was written to encourage them. It pointed them and us to something greater. It looked backward to all of history, especially all of the Old Testaments that was pointing towards, all the Old Testament was pointing towards something in all of its types and all of its shadows. It was pointing towards Christ. It shows the Old Testament types that point both forwards in time, in actual physical time, to Christ. But in all of this, it's also pointing upwards to a transcendent divine reality. This is where I want to go today. I want to talk to you about your pilgrim journey and mine. And the Lord really brought three things to mind for me. And here they are, and we're going to talk about them. The first thing is, can we say on our pilgrim's journey that we are suffering well? The second thing is, in times of confusion and suffering, do we have faith in a good God? And thirdly, are we being hope-filled, holding on, patiently enduring, which is my definition of hope, which then allows us to walk out this new covenant, the promises and the provisions that God has made for us in Christ Jesus. This means simultaneously walking with both feet planted on this shaky earth, but also enabling us to look upwards at the transcendent, sure reality, which is our true home, the unshakable kingdom of God in heaven. So the first question, can we say we are suffering well, or do we even know what that means? Let's explore that. I can, by God's grace, say that I am suffering well most of the time, but only if I do as our Lord has asked me to do. I told my sister that I felt a little bit like St. Bartholomew, who was skinned alive. I feel like I'm walking around a lot of times with no skin. But we know in Hebrews 5:8 that even Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Well, if he had to suffer, what makes us think that we won't also? I believe he suffered so that we could boldly approach the throne with confidence, knowing that we can bring all of our pain and suffering to him, no matter what it is, and he will never turn us away. I am feeling suffering a lot more than usual. Even in the little things, sometimes they can hurt. So I have to be especially in tune with God's voice in my life. And I pray that by God's grace and in his time, all my skin will grow back. But when I was first told about the fire by the sweet lady Dawn, who owns Georgetown Nails, if any of y'all ever come to Georgetown Nails, I just got this message on my phone. I was coming back from Mass, from church. I was driving across the island. We were in Hawaii on vacation. And I saw Dawn had called. It was kind of odd. So I listened to it. And she says, Melissa, this is Dawn. I see smoke. Your house is on fire. Are you home? I first thought, oh my gosh. And I thought, oh, it must be the Christmas tree. And quite frankly, my daughter was the last one that was there. She had left actually for Christmas Day, and this was on December 28th. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I bet the little Christmas tree caught on fire. You know, and I was thinking, oh, you know, goodness gracious. And as I was thinking this, the Lord said very clearly in my spirit, because I was driving, he said, forgive. That was the word I got. Forgive. Pull over right now. And whoever and whatever caused this, I want you to forgive right now. And so I did. I also thought at the time it was just going to be a small fire because we had a very tiny little fake tree from IKEA with one string of lights on it. And so the forgiveness was kind of easy because I thought, oh, it's just like, you know, a little puff of smoke kind of a thing. But as the day unfolded and it became apparent that it was a much, much, much bigger fire, the Lord said to me again, you are still to forgive and pray. Just forgive right now. Do not let the devil get a foothold here. And so we as a family circled up and held hands and prayed. And we together forgave whoever it was or whatever it was. And we asked that the Lord would be in the fire and come out glorified through the fire. So when we spoke to the officer who told us that it was arson, the first thing that he said to us was, I said to him on the phone was, well, we forgive the person that did this. And the officer said, well, he's going to need it. Little did I know at the time, it was the son of a longtime family friend. I cannot go into detail, but the Lord showed me that I should not only just forgive him, but I should offer my Lenten sacrifices for him, as well as all that was lost in the fire that he caused, as an offering to the Lord, like a bonfire, a Holocaust offering to God for the boy's healing and wholeness. The Lord was very clear. He said that the fire could either leave my soul burned, blistered, and singed, or it could be used to purify me and my family and set us ablaze for him. Now that may seem strange to many of you, but the truth is when you offer all of your suffering to the Lord for a particular purpose, like offering up a fast for a particular prayer intention, it truly takes the sting out of the loss and turns it from what can feel like a useless loss and you being a victim into something meaningful and purposeful and to be used by God for his purposes and his will. So as hard as it is, when I remember something that I dearly loved, I place it on the bonfire of love for him, and I ask that it be used in some way for God's purposes, whatever it may be. And I picture Jesus smiling at me. That is by grace, his grace, how I am learning to suffer well by giving all to God. Because in the end, my only goal in life is to please God in all things. It is not to have the most stuff or the best house or even as much as I would like to have the prettiest things to pass on to my children. In the end, my goal is to please God. So how we suffer matters. God wants us to suffer well, and we never suffer alone. Just look at the cross. I had to chuckle when I read Hebrews 10:34. Are you ready for this? For you had compassion on the prisoners, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Wow. I felt like that was written just for me. And you know, C.S. Lewis states in Your Christianity, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Yeah. All of these things are lovely ideas until you have something to truly offer or to forgive. So that's my first thing. Am I suffering well? Well, I'm trying. And that's how I feel like the Lord is asking me to suffer well, is to offer all to him for his purposes, even though I don't know why or what the outcome will be. But I want it to all be used for the glory of God. And that can make him smile. And then that makes me smile. So the second thing is, in times of confusion and suffering, do we have faith in a good God? I can say again, by his grace, Yes, most of the time. The one thing I have learned that in spite of everything, God is still good. But people, well, not always so much. But nevertheless, in the book of Job, it was the devil who caused his suffering. The devil is the one that caused Job to suffer. And yet, Job states, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So no matter how the suffering comes, we have to see that it is somehow allowed by God. But why would God do that? Because he must in some way mean it for our good, which means God is good. I am learning what it goes on to state in Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. I am by God's grace learning that God's ways are not my ways, but I can trust him all the same because I have confidence in him. I have walked this journey long enough to know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes, Romans 8:28. I have to trust that his purposes, not mine, are being done in and through this. Therefore, I cannot trust or follow my emotions alone. If I do, I am sunk because some days my emotions are so peaceful and I have great consolation. And other days they are storm-filled and I am a tempest in a teapot and I am tossed by the waves of the sea. And it is then that I must trust in a good God. Like I said, I have no skin right now, it seems. So I must trust him to clothe me, to be my skin. And I do. I feel your prayers. And I cry out to the great cloud of witnesses of saints that are above to help me to persevere, to run the race before me. And I want to encourage all of us to remember that beautiful picture. But we must look to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who always first did what he asks us to do, which is to, I love this, imagine the joy ahead. He said, he pictured the joy set before him. We must imagine the joy ahead, which is endless union with him, to be able to endure our cross, despising the shame and all that comes with dying to self and one's own will and purposes, so that we can be seated with him in glory someday if we persevere in running this race. We are to consider him so that we do not grow weary and faint-hearted. So can we, no matter what, in spite of whatever comes our way, can we have faith that God is good? Can we say, yet though you slay me, I trust you. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray that we can do that no matter what. And lastly, are we being hope-filled? Holding on, patiently enduring. That's my acrostic, H-O-P-E. Holding on, patiently enduring, which is my definition of hope. And this allows us to walk out this new covenant, the promises and provisions that God has made for us in Christ Jesus. This means both simultaneously, as I said, to walk with our feet planted on this shaky earth, but also enabling us to look upwards at the transcendent, sure reality, which is our true home, the unshakable kingdom of God in heaven. I can say again, by God's grace, I am doing this, but not perfectly, but most days. Why and how? Well, because he tells us in his word, if we hold on to Jesus and his promises, then as it says in Hebrews, he is our sure anchor. He is the anchor of our faith. But you know what else I found? He's also my balloon. Somehow, And only Jesus could do this. He suspends me and you, if you hang on tightly enough, somewhere between heaven and earth. Hebrews 6:19 states this: we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. So we see right here, it's an anchor down here, but we enter into a heavenly sanctuary up there. What is our hope? Well, it's Jesus, of course. Everyone knows the answer is always Jesus. And our hope is to be like Jesus in all ways. Remember, the end goal is to please God all the time, always. And if you get nothing else, I pray you remember this. What is your end goal in life? I surely hope it is to please God all the time, in all ways. And beautifully, Jesus did this every moment of his life, and his death, and his resurrection. So how do we do it? How do we please God? It is to be made one with him. We were created to share in his blessed life. God did not need anything. He never needed us to be made complete. He is complete in and of himself. It was an act of sheer goodness that God created us. And the reason why he did it is to share in his blessed life. This whole book of Hebrews is to tell us how we can do it, come what may, and that we have a more perfect way now, and it is through Jesus. It is to be able to enter behind the veil with him. Well, what is that veil? Well, behind the veil is the very presence of God. And we read in 10:20 that Jesus's very own flesh torn open for us was the veil that was parted, was torn apart. This is how we enter into God's presence, is through Jesus, who is the new temple, who tabernacled among us, but in whom the very spirit, the presence of God inhabited. He is our new and living way. And so if you are obedient and allow these truths to wash over us and to become a part of us, and we walk with him every day, keeping in step with his spirit, he keeps us sure-footed on this shaky earth, and he lifts our spirits high like a balloon, pointing us upwards to heaven. But it's not always easy. It does not all come naturally. Some days I fall, but thankfully he always scoops me back up. And if I look upwards to him and thankfully he sends friends to help as well, to be his hands and his feet in my life. And I'm sure it's the same for you. This is how so often God scoops us back up. But I must say right here, it's by his grace, and we must keep on trucking, just like the 122-year-old lady, even if our legs feel a little rusty. We have to keep moving forward. So much of life is an act of the will. It's not acting on our emotions, but it's acting on what we know and have lived out and know to be true. I think so many times the enemy of our faith tries to get in, and he lies to us and tries to twist things and gets our emotions all involved. So we have to act on what we know to be true in the word of God. And I will tell you, forgiveness is an act of the will. Choosing to suffer well is an act of the will. Choosing to trust that he is a good God when things are really bad is an act of the will. And holding on, patiently enduring, is an act of the will. But we don't do it alone. It's by God's grace. He always gives us an invitation to do these things, and we need to respond to them and not act on our emotions, but act on this invitation of grace that he gives us. You know, I love this fact that when we cooperate with even the longing that we have inside of us, because he puts a longing inside of us to do the right thing, that even when we long to do the right thing, it's also him. But when we long to do it, even if we don't do it, he still loves that part. He still loves that we want to do it. And so I want to encourage you to pray for a longing to want to please God, because then I promise you, if you can, by an act of sheer will, his grace enabling you, do the right thing, even though you don't feel like it, the emotions will follow. We have to act, and then the emotions follow. We have to pray to him. And it all comes at a great cost. I'm not going to fool you. It comes at a great cost. It came at a great price for the recipients of this letter. It comes at a great cost to you and to me. We don't get to wallow in our own pity parties. You know, we don't always get to have our way. The cost is dying to self. Well, do we want our way, our purposes, our property, our justice, our vengeance, our will to be done? Or do we, by God's grace, choose to walk in a humble, obedient way with him? Because we are promised so much more than this earth can give us. We are promised heaven, and it starts right here, right now. We can share in the blessed life of God. And so my prayer is that you and I, after reading and studying this beautiful letter, which contained a soul-stirring, Holy Spirit-inspired sermon within, will enable us to better suffer well, have faith in a good God, come what may, and hold on to that anchor and that balloon, patiently enduring the suffering, even your own death on your own crosses, but also by his grace, the joy of the resurrection, even now, because Jesus is both the anchor of our faith and the balloon that carries us joyfully all the way to heaven. So that said, I don't want to cry, but I am, but I'll try not to. I do not feel like this would end perfectly if I didn't close in a prayer allowing you to also forgive someone that may have hurt you. And sometimes it's easier to forgive a total stranger than it is a family member or a dear friend. Like I said, it's an act of the will, but enabled by God's grace. So if you feel a stirring in your heart, that's God. That's God. He's stirring in your heart. He's giving you an invitation to act on an invitation of grace. So we ask now humbly by his grace during this Lenten season, when we're really asked to sacrifice, to be like our Lord, to walk that path. You know, the Lord said that we are to take up our cross daily and follow him. Well, it was such a surprise to me when I realized that you don't just walk around with your cross, you're supposed to die on it. But the beauty of it is that he raises you again. He raises you again. If you die, you get to live a resurrected life. Otherwise, you're just living with a cross on your back. So shall we walk together? Shall we be lifted up? Let's close with our eyes on Jesus. Let's close with our anchor and our balloon in hand. Let's ask to be like Jesus. Let's forgive, because the law of love is to do God's will above all things. And when we do, we can be that light at the end of the tunnel right here on planet Earth for others who are walking around in darkness. I'm going to lead us in this four-way forgiveness prayer. It's my all-time favorite prayer, and I have to say it almost on a daily basis, especially since I have no skin and I have to forgive people because I am easily bruised and easily hurt. But I'm going to pray that God will free you as well. So I'm going to do it quickly because I know we're about out of time, or we are over time, but just bear with me. We'll do it very quickly. But if the Lord has brought someone to mind that you yourself need to forgive, I want you to place them in your hand right now. Hold up your hand. And I want you to hold up to the Lord all the things about that person that trouble you. For example, list the things, the names of the things that have upset you about that person. If it's a friend or a relative or a father or a person that has intentionally or unintentionally hurt you, place those things in your hand right now. And now I want you to brush them off and I want you to release it to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we give you each one of these things and we ask that you take them and pour your love and healing power through them. We thank you, Lord, that you have the power and grace to redeem us and to redeem them, even no matter how wretched. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to lift all the pain and hurt that has been involved with each one of these things, that you lift it from each one of our hearts, from our minds, from our spirits. We ask that you lift the burden of these things from our shoulders. We give all this to you, Lord, and we trust you to heal and to deal with them. Thank you, Lord, for taking each one of these things, because you are a better God and master and manager of us and all that is in our life than we are. So we give them to you, Lord. We give them to you. Amen. And now I want you to hold up your hand and I want you to place in here all the things about you that may have troubled this person. Anything that you did, perhaps you were unkind, perhaps you withheld love, perhaps you did a retaliation, whatever it is, place it in here now. All the things that you have done that may trouble this person. And now I want you to release, turn your hands over and brush them off and release these things to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask you to pour your love and your healing power over these things. We ask you to take them and we thank you for taking them, dealing with them and releasing this burden from each one of us. We release ourselves to you. We trust, Lord, that you can heal this hurt and this pain in their hearts and even in ours. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and your love and your power to redeem. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now I want you to hold up your hand one more time, and I want you to place in here your heart's desire for the person that you had this grievance against or this hurt. What is it? What is the best thing that you can think of? What would you like to see the Lord do for this person? And even if this person has died, it's okay. You can still share and lift up to the Lord your heart's desire for this person. What is it? What good things would you like to see? How would you like to see this person made whole? What blessing? How could you bless this person? How would you like the Lord to bless this person? All right, now we turn this over. And we give this to you, Lord, and we thank you that you are able to handle this person better than we are. And we ask that you would bring about your perfect will for them and let your love pour over them and your healing power flow over them. Lord, we give them to you to heal, to bless, and to fix. Thank you, Lord, for that. We release them into your good keeping, to your good care. And now hold up your hands for the last time and put in here all that you desire for yourself. What is it that is your heart's desire for you? What would you really like to see Jesus do in your own life? Ask the Lord now to come. Share your dreams and your hopes, but leaving room for him to do something greater and something better in your life. Lord, we give you ourselves wholly and totally. We ask that you would do something greater in our life, something better than what we have even now, as we come to reunite ourselves with you with purity of heart, purity of mind, purity of intention, purity of spirit, Lord. We want to be pure and whole and free to be one with you. Lord, help us. Pour your love, your forgiveness, shower us with you. Lord, because on our own, we cannot do any better, but with you, you make all things new. You make all things beautiful. Even in darkness, you shine your light. Lord, we want to be in the light with you. Bring us there, we pray. You bring beauty from ashes. And I've seen it in my own life. So thank you, Lord. I pray all of this in the beautiful and powerful name of Jesus. We release all of this to you. We ask, Lord, that you would truly release us and bring us your love. And now I want to close with the doxology that is here, the benediction in Hebrews 13, 20, so that as we close this off, we may read this. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, my sweet friends. God bless you.
Thank you, Melissa.